Greetings, my name's Dr. Athena Pappas. I'm a past president of the ACC, and we're here in Atlanta at the American College of Cardiology annual scientific sessions. It's been pretty exciting. There's a lot of buzz. I want to just touch base on four of the late-breaking trials which caught my eye and thought we would share together. The first one, Dr. Stone presented on the first morning, and it's about ApoB and looking at the effects it may have to improve outcomes post-anterior myocardial infarction, because we know that its effects on cholesterol efflux, in particular, may stabilize plaque. They recruited over 18,000 patients. They were randomized. It was a placebo with four infusions, and they looked at outcome of both death, myocardial infarction, and stroke. And surprisingly, what they found was there was no significant difference between the infusion and the placebo. So biologically, it made an awful lot of sense that improving HDL efflux or capacity, the ability to do what it's supposed to do and remove the garbage, as Dr. Stone said, the bad cholesterol, didn't seem to have an effect. We also know that it can have direct effects on plaque, so the thought would it would have stabilized some of the plaque. At least from an outcome standpoint, we didn't see that. We saw a trend to a reduction in myocardial infarction. So one question is, if you looked further out, might you see plaque stabilization months or years later? Perhaps. Perhaps we need to just look differently at other ways to affect lipids overall, improving HDL levels or function, though in the past levels alone haven't mattered. We know there's different types of HDL. We know that they change in women postmenopausally. And 18,000 patients is a lot of patients. So one good trial, and it's a negative trial for now. The other trial was very interesting. It was TACT2. There had been a previous trial which looked at EDTA to remove lead and cadmium from the bloodstream. As we know, both are important air pollutants, and lead has been important in both water as well, but it's really the air pollutants that have negative effects on atherosclerosis and on precipitating myocardial infarction. This also was a negative trial. They looked at data from 2015 to 2020, and there was not much effect in trying to remove these levels by EDTA in outcome. Now, why might that be when the prior trial that was earlier, 2002 to 2010, looked positive, at least for early, softer endpoints? One really important finding, the good news is we've done a better job at air pollution, and that in the US at least, and this is going to be important for global health, the lead levels in the air are significantly less, almost 40% less than just 10, 15 years ago. So the delta in removing that is probably no longer significant. Now that may be sad for a drug intervention, but it's great news for the world and for climate control and for working really hard on air pollution. There's many parts of the world that still have a really significant air pollution, leaded gas and other areas where it's impactful and it will impact people's health. So let's proactively prevent the problem, I would say, and not find a new drug to treat our bad habits in climate. Let's talk about a third LVCT, which was very compelling and I think eagerly awaited. Danger shock. So we know that utilizing mechanical support for acute myocardial infarction and shock has been beneficial in some small trials. And in this trial, the microaxillary cross-valvular device was utilized. Patients were randomized post-MI. All were revascularized. There was important exclusion criteria such as out-of-hospital arrest. But the patients were randomized. Their average lactate acid was about 4.5. Median blood pressure was in the 80s, low to mid 80s, 83 it might have been. And importantly, again, this seemed to be a negative trial. There did look to be I shouldn't say that it's a negative trial. There did appear to be an improvement in mortality in those patients that received the mechanical support. So as far as the endpoint being achieved in outcome and mortality, there was an improvement by using mechanical support. But it came at a very high cost. There was significantly more bleeding, almost twice as much bleeding, significantly more need for renal replacement therapy, again, almost twice as much, and almost twice as much sepsis. Also, a concerning finding was a larger proportion of the patients were still hospitalized at 30 days in those that were on mechanical support versus those that were not. So a compelling trial that perhaps using mechanical support will improve outcome, but the question is at what cost? And let us ask the question, what can we do better to obviate some of those risks and reduce the adverse events so that we really can reduce that mortality in that high, high risk group? The fourth trial, which I thought was very exciting and quite intriguing, was ARISE-HF. It was looking at aldose reductase inhibitors in patients with heart failure. Again, biologically plausible, and in particular, they looked at just patients who had diabetic cardiomyopathy. This group of patients should respond in a positive fashion to this agent. And they were looking in particular at exercise tolerance because we know those patients in particular, the diabetic cardiomyopathy patients, really struggle with exercise tolerance. So they looked at VO2 max in placebo as compared to aldose reductase inhibitor. And what they found was there was no significant difference in the drug versus placebo. There was no improvement in those on drug. There was a slight decrement in those on placebo. But more importantly, there was an improvement in the subgroup of patients that were not on SGLT2 inhibitors. So it helps validate some of the biologic plausibility and importance of this mechanism and potentially this medication. And should it just be used in a subset of patients? Conversely, I think what we'll see is our SGLT2 inhibitors really the drugs that will obviate the need for other newer medications. So I think we'll see more in a head-to-head comparison, but an intriguing trial in diabetic cardiomyopathy patients with heart failure. In closing, I want to invite everybody to come to the next meeting. It's a phenomenally exciting annual meeting. There's people from around the world. The ability to network, meet others, learn new science, do a deep dive into even the business of medicine or a deep dive into critical care medicine is really what we need to be doing for ourselves and our education, but also for our patients. So please join us next year.